From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, November 1st. I'm Jonathan All, in for Abby Larico. Six counties in southwest Illinois, including Madison in the Metro East, have an advisory referendum on their ballots. It will ask if county boards should talk with other county boards about forming a new state separate from Chicago.
If Madison County passes this, I think Springfield will actually start to realize, hey, there's something going on here.
St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer breaks down the non-binding referendum and what Madison County could mean to the growing movement. Also coming up, during this general election season, millions of dollars of outside money has been pouring into the Midwest to sway voters on issues like abortion and gambling, according to a new investigation by the Midwest Newsroom.
There's a lot of money at stake, and there are a lot of gambling interests outside the state that see it as a possibly lucrative market.
Those stories are coming up on The Gateway. Missouri's two major U.S. Senate candidates clashed in the final debate before Tuesday's election. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on the key moments in the debate between Democrat Lucas Kuntz and GOP incumbent Josh Hawley.
In a debate at KTVI Studios in St. Louis, Hawley and Kuntz diverged strongly on abortion rights and gun control. Hawley also reiterated his opposition to providing aid to Ukraine, while Kuntz stressed his support to help repel Russia's invasion. Perhaps the most pointed moment came when Kuntz criticized Hawley for being the first Republican senator to object to Joe Biden's victory in Pennsylvania.
Josh Hawley, as the selfish swamp creature that he is and has always been, he ran away as quick as he could back to his $2 million Virginia estate and hid his head.
Hawley said he had no regrets over objecting to Biden's win, citing changes to Pennsylvania's absentee ballot process. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Democrat running for Missouri's 3rd congressional district says she's hoping to make inroads with voters who are typically voting Republican. Democrat Bethany Mann is running against Republican Bob Onder for the district that takes in parts of central and eastern Missouri. Mann is in favor of abortion rights and opposed to GOP presidential hopeful Donald Trump's desire to issue more tariffs on imports. Mann knows she has an uphill battle on Tuesday, but she says voters appreciate her listening to their concerns about things like rising utility costs.
It's not commonplace to hear Democrats talking about those kitchen table issues, and that's created an opportunity for populism that focuses on discontent and division to really breed and fester.
Mann and Onder were both guests on Politically Speaking this week. You can listen to their episodes at stlpr.org. Early voting continued yesterday in St. Charles County as a court weighs a legal challenge filed by a Republican committeeman seeking to watch the pre-election day process. St. Louis Public Radio's Aula Kuziz has more.
There were long lines at early voting sites in St. Charles County. Some voters waiting to cast ballots in St. Peter's were worried they wouldn't be able to vote until Tuesday. County election officials say early voting will continue as scheduled. Voter George Richardson says he came to the polls because he's sure the process works.
I feel pretty confident in the state of Missouri and the way we handle it in comparison to some of the more liberal states. I think our state has as good a voter integrity as there is.
A judge is expected to decide if poll watchers can watch the early voting process or must wait until Tuesday. I'm Arla Kaziz, St. Louis Public Radio.
The U.S. Army says a fellow soldier at Fort Leonard Wood is responsible for the October 20th killing of Sergeant Sarah Roquet. Military prosecutors yesterday filed murder and obstruction of justice charges against Specialist Wooster Rancey. The Army did not provide any more information about how Rancey and Roquet knew each other. Roquet's body was found in a dumpster at the fort last week. Rancey's originally from Florida and joined the Army in 2022. He's a combat engineer assigned to the 5th Engineer Battalion. Charges in the military justice system do not prevent prosecutors in Pulaski County, where the fort is based, from filing their own case, but experts say that would be rare. St. Louis City SC will play its games at Energizer Park next season. The St. Louis-based battery company bought the naming rights to the Major League Soccer stadium that had been known as City Park its first two seasons. The team and the company did not disclose the terms of the deal, but Energizer CEO Mark Levine says it's a long-term partnership.
We're going to do this right, with the club, we're gonna make sure we come up with the right partnership ideas. So we don't need to rush. We don't need to rush it out. We're going to be here for a while, so we're going to do it right.
Energizer employs more than 400 people in the St. Louis area. The new name goes into effect on January 1st with new signs and the name painted on the roof of the stadium. Across the St. Louis region, many Indian Americans are celebrating Diwali, the Hindu Festival of Lights. A local family has been bringing the holiday celebration to their community for more than a decade. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, some Indian Americans look forward to Diwali because it lifts their spirits and connects them to home.
In the backyard of a two-story home in St. Charles is a little slice of India.
This is chicken biryani. It's just like chicken and rice dish.
In front of a slew of traditional Indian dishes are about 100 people in rich colored saris and kurtas. Golden jewelry can be seen on the necks of women from afar. People like Abba Bagar celebrate Diwali yearly at the home of Aarti Sharma and Sunil Parwell to connect to their homeland.
This is 25 years, longer than I was in home. So celebrating with my new family is what matters. And this keeps us going.
Bagar says community Diwali celebrations help keep her motivated all year. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
With the general election days away, the Midwest Newsroom has been analyzing contribution records behind key ballot issues in the region. Reporter Pia Malbrun found an overwhelming amount of campaign financing is coming from outside of the Midwest to sway voters on abortion and gambling. She sat down with editor Chris Husted to talk about the outside interest in Midwestern politics.
Pia, what measures are seeing the most funding and roughly how much are we talking about?
I would say the biggest one that we have seen is sports betting in Missouri. So on the Missouri ballot, the title of it is Constitutional Amendment Number 2. A vote for yes will allow for sports betting in Missouri for the first time ever. As of Monday, October 28th, the campaign behind the amendment, Winning for Missouri Education, has received $40 million in contributions. And all of that is coming from DraftKings and FanDuel.
$40 million, that's a lot. Where are DraftKings and FanDuel based?
So DraftKings is headquartered in Boston, and FanDuel has their offices in New Jersey.
Why is there so much money going into the issue in Missouri?
Missouri is one of those states where sports betting is not legal. And it's the only state in the country that has the question of whether to legalize sports betting on its ballot November 5th. I spoke with a professor of political science at the University of Missouri, Peverell Squire, who said that there is a lot of money to be made when it comes to sports betting.
There are a lot of gambling interests outside the state that see it as a possibly lucrative market to enter. And so I think there's a lot of desire among groups around the nation to have Missouri join with a lot of other states in allowing sports betting.
And Squire has also said that the support from professional sports teams has also been a really big factor.
Now, abortion access is on the ballot in Missouri and would reverse the current near total ban the state has. And abortion is also on Nebraska's ballot twice, one measure that keeps the current 12-week restriction there and one that expands access to about 24 weeks. What kind of financial support is coming from outside of the Midwest for those measures?
A lot of support. In Missouri, the campaign behind the amendment is called the Missourians for Constitutional Freedom. They have so far raised $30.6 million in contributions. Of that, at least $23 million, which is about 75%, has come from outside donors.
One of those outside groups you found is the Fairness Project, which is a nonprofit that works with local coalitions to pass progressive policies through ballot initiatives. Why do these measures in the Midwest matter to them?
I spoke with Kelly Hall, who's the executive director of the Fairness Project, who explained in part why Missouri is so attractive.
In a state that many progressives and Democrats have written off, is an incredibly attractive moment to show both the power of direct democracy, but also to show that abortion is no longer a partisan red and blue issue. There is really support for abortion rights, even in the true smack dab in the middle of the country that many progressives on the coast think is so dark red, there's no coming back from it.
Pia, you saw a lot of records and talked to a lot of people. How much does this outside money actually matter?
Well, the money for sure matters, and the amount of money in terms of where that money is coming from everyone that I spoke with said it doesn't really matter. What matters is that these are local issues that are affecting the communities, and people on the ground are working very hard. A lot of these outside donors are partnering with local coalitions. And so that's really what matters.
That was reporter Pia Malbrun talking about the Midwest Newsroom's investigation into campaign financing. The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration between NPR member stations in Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska. Six counties in southwest Illinois, including Madison and the Metro East, will be voting Tuesday on non-binding referendums about possibly forming a new state. These ballot questions are part of a growing movement in downstate Illinois, as some voters have grown increasingly frustrated with the direction of state government and want to break away from Chicago. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports how Madison County's vote is different from the others.
So far, 26 Illinois counties have passed symbolic referendums in previous elections. Most have been concentrated in southeast Illinois and are rural counties. But Madison County represents a new addition to the growing separation movement, a suburban county.
I think it's time for a wake-up call in Springfield.
That's Dave Stouffer. He's one of the Madison County residents who's been advocating to get the referendum on the ballot.
If Madison County passes this, I think Springfield will actually start to realize, hey, there's something going on here.
Madison County is home to more than 260,000 people. If voters approve, it could show the movement is more than just urban versus rural. Other Madison County residents, like Stacy Leip, think passing this advisory referendum is not the right move.
It's performative. It's just an absolute waste of time.
Leip is running for a county board seat this fall. In her eyes, these legally non-binding referendums lead nowhere. Instead of debating issues like this, she says we should spend our time focusing on more practical ones. That's a view Leip shares with current Madison County board member Allison Lamoth.
We want policy that does the most good for the most people, and kicking Cook County to the curb would not accomplish that at all.
Now, it's not just Madison County voters that will get this question. Residents in Calhoun, Clinton, Iroquois, Greene, Jersey, and Perry counties will all vote on their own referendums. And all the questions are the same. To paraphrase, they read, should the county's board talk with other counties about separating from Cook to form a new state? It's important to note that this question is not actually a question of secession or formally withdrawing from a state. However, the advocates see these questions as an official poll that quantifies disapproval.
It's a matter of finding out how the people feel about the idea of doing this.
Jersey County Board Member Eric Ivers is another supporter. He and Stouffer say if voters reject the referendums, they'll drop the idea. If they pass it, the message has been sent to state leaders. The U.S. Constitution does lay out a process for forming new states. It requires approval of both the state legislature and Congress, which remains possible but would be a tall task. Academics at Southern Illinois University also say breaking up downstate Illinois from Chicago wouldn't make financial sense. One of those academics is John Jackson.
This is what we call in political science symbolic politics, because it's not going to happen, and they probably know it's not going to happen.
Jackson and another professor conclude downstate Illinois receives far more tax dollars from Springfield than it puts in. This is a finding that a number of separation supporters dispute. J.H. Merritt, the chairman of a group named New Illinois, is one of them. For Merritt, the movement comes down to a U.S. Supreme Court ruling from the 60s. The high court ruled legislative districts had to be apportioned based on population.
And what you end up having is Cook County imposing things on the rest of the state that may be good for a densely populated urban area, but they're not good for the rest of the state.
Back in Madison County, Lamothe, the current board member, says another reason she voted against this measure is that she doesn't like demonizing cities.
I think that promoting that is insidious. I think it's damaging. It is not at all unifying.
To which Jackie Day, a third Madison County board candidate, chimes in.
Just to be clear, though, when you say you really don't like the demonization of Chicago, it's still okay to hate on the Cubs, right? That's important.
Maybe another question for another day. In Edwardsville, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
On behalf of all Cub fans, bring it on. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. I'm Jonathan All, in for Abby Lurico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.